Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And good evening to you for Wednesday, July 16th, 2014. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, good evening. Glad to be here.
And also helping us behind the scenes, screening phone calls, is Michael Kelly. Welcome, son.
Hi. Hello, everyone. I'm very happy to be here tonight. As always, if anyone has any questions or comments for the hosts, please call 714-459-3973.
Sounds good, and we'll talk a little bit more about call-ins here in just a moment. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the International Society of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly program, the Society also operates the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, a school where you can get your bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics with a variety of specializations available. The web address is metaphysicsinstitute.org. We also operate the International College of Metaphysical Humanism, which is ICHSworld.org, and there you can take standalone courses or certification courses in a variety of things. I'd like to welcome all those who are listening live, as well as those who are listening to the archives. Good to have you here. Tonight we're going to be talking about some different questions we've gotten, and we'll take your questions too, if you'd like to call in, and don't be shy. As Michael said, the numbers are on your screen, 714-459-3973. You can start calling in now if you have a question for either myself or Dr. Hunter or both of us. It can be on life. It can be on whatever, and we'll do our best to help. Before we get into that, we're going to talk about our profession of beliefs, which we usually do. And as I do, as I mentioned these nine principles of belief, think about it. It's the healthiest spiritual philosophy on the planet. Think about how, what a difference they could make in all of our lives if everybody just applied them. So the spiritual philosophy of the International Society of Metaphysical Humanism is based upon these nine principles of belief. Number one, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. Number two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. We invoke and exert the counselor and guru within. Number three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. Number four, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number five, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number six, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both the physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. Number seven, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these three synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. Number eight, we believe in the values of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. And number nine, We believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And for more information on these nine principles of belief, please visit the International Society of Metaphysical Humanism. The address is metaphysicalhumanism.org.
You know, I'd like to jump in and say we have our video re-edited.
Oh, yeah.
It's on the front page of metaphysicalhumanism.org, or at the end of the show we'll post the YouTube link to it, too. Fantastic, powerful, wonderful, exceptional video. Awesome.
It is. Sam Sampson did it for us, and he's quite an artist that way. Just a beautiful, empowering, uplifting video. And what we've done, he did it for us, I don't know, a year and a half ago, but we've updated it with a new name. And speaking of the new name, the state of Florida just processed our amended corporate papers and with the new name change, so that's all official. Now we are the International Society of Metaphysical Humanism, Incorporated, Florida nonprofit. All right, so we've got some guests in our chat room. Welcome to all of those again. And I'd like to also kick out a special hello and welcome to Mike Voice. Mike Voice was a guest on our show, a couple years ago or so. We talked about reincarnation. We were a guest on his show.
Great show.
So he's out there in the UK, and it's pretty late for him. So either he is dedicated or crazy. I guess you could be both, huh? What is it,
great.
5 hours from us? So that's like 3 a.m.
You know, we'd love to have him back again if he considered to do it. So any time that Mike would like to join us again, we're in.
Cool. All right, so let's talk about questions. Again, if you have a question about life, about something, give us a call. Michael Kelly is there on the phone lines, ready to take your call. The number is 714-459-3973. If you're on Skype, you can click on the little Skype icon by the phone number on your page. Don't be shy. You know, we're all people here just trying to help, so feel free to, you know, give us a call.
You know, we get questions posed to us frequently, like all the time. You know, and then when it gets to showtime, some nights is really good for participation, other nights not. But we're hoping that this is your opportunity to ask a question, you know, so write it in the chat or give us a call. But meanwhile, we do have some written questions of, you know, people who have written in throughout the week, after week, after week, after month, with many questions. And, you know, interestingly enough, we just had a request for a paranormal investigator with a degree in the Texas area to get involved with the show. And this is the kind of notoriety that we do get. And unfortunately, we don't have one of our graduates who's there who's specializing in that in Texas. So we couldn't help, but we did refer this particular gentleman to Brian Parsons, who's the executive director of Paranexus, our affiliate. And so we get lots of, you know, inquiries and questions and, you know, running the whole gamut.
Yes, indeed. This is one, a recent one, an inquiry on whether we would discuss three different things: self-indignation, self-righteousness, and judgmentalism. So what we're going to do is take each one of those. We'll start with self-indignation, obviously, not a good thing.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Do you know what it means?
Well,
we don't know what it means, so we can't talk about it. Let's go on to the next one.
I guess that's the question. What is it to be self-indignant when you're indignant? You know, what really kind of an attitude or, you know, energy would somebody put out that you would say they're indignant?
Well, you know, it's accusatory. It's negative. It's putting yourself down. It's being frustrated with yourself or annoyed with yourself. You're indignant. You're angry. You're frustrated. You're annoyed. You're disgusted.
And you take that out in other people?
Well, that always happens. But, you know, self-indignation, self-denigration, it's the same thing. You know, you put yourself down. And obviously we have created an entire degree program around that whole thing about self-acceptance as part of the life leadership paragon. one of the principles of belief. Number seven, to be specific, you know, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and these three synergistically create self-completeness. So self-acceptance is the opposite of self-indignation. And so what do? If you're indignant toward yourself, if you're kicking yourself, you have negative self-talk, you know, the thing you need to do is stop it. Well, how do you stop it? Well, that involves learning about yourself. It involves accepting yourself as a human being and accepting the fact that you are perfectly yourself, who you ought to be right here, right now, based on not only what you've learned, but what you've been through and your belief system, you know, and a belief system about yourself. You are where you are. So if you don't like where you are, that's fine. Don't kick yourself. Look at the lessons involved. We all have to go through adversity. Adversity, remember, is nothing more or less than a state of disorder. Something is not in its proper order. You put that something back in its proper order, and the adversity goes away in due time. So to accept yourself, that's what you've got to do. I accept myself just the way I am. I am perfect just as I am right here, right now, and I'm striving to be better tomorrow than I was yesterday. I'm a perfect work in progress. In other words, most people need to give themselves a break. They don't. They keep kick themselves when they don't. They say things to themselves that they wouldn't even think about saying to somebody they cared about. Am I right or am I right? It's one of those two things.
Oh, I don't know. I've been pretty stupid in my life, Doug.
Well, yeah, but that wasn't the question.
No, but I mean, I think that's the difference, though, when you accept, you know, where you may have zigged when you should have zagged, and, you know, you made an error in judgment here or there, but then you press on. You know, so you can own it. You can make the statement and own it, but it doesn't mean you take it to heart.
We all screw up. I mean, we all make mistakes. That's just part of life. That just is what it is. I mean, we'll put our foot in our mouths at times. We'll say stupid things. It's not necessarily something we laid awake dreaming about saying. It just pops out sometimes. Well, it tells us something about ourselves. And the proper way to go about correcting it is not to be indignant toward yourself, not to put yourself down, but to learn the lesson contained. And when you do that, your belief system is modified. It changes your belief about you, about the world. It raises your awareness, and it changes your energy signature or the vibe you put out, so you attract different things, healthier things, hopefully. So
instead of being indignant, just be more dignified.
Yeah, be dignant, not indignant.
There we go. Which, you know, it's the opposite, I think, goes then into self-righteousness, right? That's where somebody just thinks they're always right about everything.
Yes, and 1 second, I'm looking at messages from Michael. It sounds like a book, doesn't it?
Messages from Michael. Yeah. It's funny, before the show, I always go, Mike Test, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, Mike Test. Yeah, it's a little
all
insight
right
thing. Self-righteousness is, I think we see this all the time, and to me, the root of that is fear. Because if there's things you don't know about, then you want to focus on what you do know about, and what you do know about, therefore, must be right, and you must tell everybody what you know. But it's just you don't want them to know what you don't know. So it's a vicious circle of who gets to be right because they don't know anything. So that's where I think that to be righteous, you know, is to say to the world, well, I know about this and I think everybody should be this way. And self-righteous is like you're the know-it-all. That's the way, you know, I kind of see that where there's a lot of self-righteousness, particularly, I think, well, we see it amongst professionals, you know, and we come across this all the time, where you go to your doctor, they know everything. You go to the dentist, they know everything. You go to, you know, I don't know, they know everything. And there's not a big way of thinking, rather a smaller way of thinking. And so that's where I see self-righteousness, which is if we can acknowledge our fear, the fear of not knowing something and not being able to say, well, I don't know, because it's fair to say, I don't know. There's nothing wrong with saying, I don't know, or I'm learning, or, gee, I never thought of that before, that puts in discussion. I think that people who aren't willing to do that then are, in my view, just self-righteous.
Okay, self-righteousness. Hey, I'm multitasking.
And what you said
was perfect. Let me just add to it. Self-righteousness, you're trying to one-up somebody, right? You're holier than thou. You're setting yourself up. And that leads into the third thing, was judgmentalism. You know, when we're self-righteous, we judge others, and we judge others poorly. In other words, they're not as good as us. And so, you know, don't do that either. I mean, there's a different thing called righteous indignation. That's a completely different thing than we've been talking about. And sometimes righteous indignation is warranted, you know, like kidnapping hundreds of schoolgirls over in where the heck ever. Nigeria? I forget where.
Can't go there.
And stupid things like that, you know, killing each other instead of feeding and helping each other. Those are all things worthy of righteous indignation. But with people, it's not, I mean, there's a fine line when you should show that. But when we get to self-righteousness, that's different than righteous indignation. Self-righteousness means setting yourself up in judgment over others. And when it comes to being judgmental, again, just stop that. Don't do that. Because when you're pointing the finger, you know, you got three pointing back at you, as the saying goes. You know, we all have things to learn. We all have awareness to gain. We all make mistakes. Sometimes we do real blunders. You know, give people a break, give yourself a break, and then not only will that keep you from being self-indignant, but it will also keep you from being self-righteous and judgmental. So, all right, we're going to take a couple of calls. First, we've got Mike Boyce from the UK, who we were just talking about. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hi, Doug. It's a long time since we've spoken, but since you mentioned me so kindly, I thought I ought to just call in and say, well, thank you very much. I think what you're doing is so important at the moment.
Well, thank you, Mike.
Particularly issues about, you know, how we see ourselves and other people. It seems to me very much the key to everything. And, of course, here's a thought I want to offer.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't forgive ourselves, how do we forgive other people?
Good thought.
Well, we can't give away what we don't have.
Exactly.
That's a good point. So,
it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
It's great.
And the simple things are usually the most effective, aren't they? I mean, all the stuff we talk about is not rocket science. It's just a matter of being nice, not hating. Wouldn't you say, Mike? Still with us?
Yeah, absolutely. I, at the moment, am leading a little discussion group in a spiritualist church, and these sorts of issues crop up. Hello, Tina?
Pardon me?
You still got me?
Yeah, we still got you.
Yeah.
You're leading a discussion group in the spiritualist church.
Yeah, that's right. And the big issue at the moment is ascension, you know, the idea that we're moving into higher vibratory rates. And what it is about, of course, is dropping out negativity. And we all carry a lot of baggage about other people. Oh, it's his fault he did this to me or whatever. But also about ourselves. We seem to blame ourselves for practically everything. If we could stop that negativity, fill our lives with joy, that would be the result. Then we would find that we were living in that higher dimensional world, because all dimensions must, by definition, be everywhere at the same time. And so we are already in what the Buddhists would call nirvana. It's just that our consciousness is locked down by all the guilt that we impose on other people and ourselves.
Well put.
You know, Mike, wouldn't you just say, though, that simply put, if we work on ourselves, it creates more space for us to open our vibration? It's just grounded,
exactly.
Sensible work. Yeah.
It isn't rocket science, is it? I mean...
Still got
exactly
you, Mike?
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, you're good point. Mike, thanks for calling in. It's great to talk to you, and wish you the best on your discussion group and everything else you're doing.
Great work.
Not at all. And can I just repeat, I think it is so essential.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not sure if you're cutting out or not. Go ahead and repeat that.
No, I think it's the time delay that's hitting us, and having done blog talk myself, I realize this can be the case. Now, I just want to say before I go that I think it's so essential to do programs like yours to get people thinking, to get people, most of all, feeling. And that's the way we shall make progress. So congratulations on your show, and certainly please, for humanity's sake, do keep up the good work.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike, as well.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk to you soon. You take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right.
Such a great guy. You know, and this is the thing to reinforce to everybody. We have associates and affiliates all over the world. We have students in 40 countries, and we're growing. And it is this essential message. It's work on ourselves, take responsibility for ourselves, accept ourselves, you know, and respect free will. And, of course, the absolute necessity of it all is, you know, do no harm and do right. And we become more self-complete. And I truly believe, and I'm just reinforcing what Mike just said, that when we look at ourselves and we transform those negative thoughts, it creates more space for positive. And then we raise our vibration.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that.
And that's nicely stated. So good thing. And speaking of students worldwide, Zach is on the phone line too. Zach, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks. I'm glad to have the opportunity. It is really cold. That polar vortex thing, man, is really, really coming this way.
Oh,
are you
yeah.
cold? You're
where
cold
you
where you are?
West Virginia, yes. right?
Yes.
Well, we're in a heat wave in Canada.
Are you? Wow. That's it's like the middle of July, and it's 50, 40 degrees, something like that.
Wow.
Really?
Wow.
Interesting.
Crazy.
So
anyway, you guys were talking about the self-indignation, self-righteousness, and judgmentalism, and I just recently have been having some events with my grandmother. She recently passed away, but she was a very, very hardcore, the Christian type, and was kind of waiting for whatever her ailment was, which nobody knew because she wouldn't go to the doctor, for her to just get better, waiting for God to heal her. And, I learned later, kind of after the events had passed, that she had been told by a doctor, essentially diagnosed with breast cancer about 15, 30 years ago. And she just said, no, I don't have cancer. No, that's crazy. And she just never followed up on it. Never went back. And, you know, when she's essentially laying on her deathbed in the home, you know, I was like, Mama, you really got to go to the doctor. You got to go. This isn't good. You know, you aren't going to get better just laying here. And she said, no, I need to get some figs because that, you know, healed somebody in the Bible. I need to do this. I need to do that, you know, and just wouldn't get medical attention. But my long story short, you know, kind of drawn out, sorry about that, she wouldn't go, and I felt like she needed to go. I was telling her that she needed, I mean, that's more, I think, than just self-indignation. I mean, she was doing harm to herself and doing no harm. I mean, where is the boundary there? I don't know where the boundaries are.
But if I can inject something here, Zach, you have to respect her right to make her decisions in her life, even if you view it as denial.
Absolutely,
you know,
and I did. I did, like, my cousin, you know, she's a healer, and, like, most of my family, they tend to just kind of shy away from anything spiritual. And my grandmother, like, even though she was very bound by the Bible, she had a gift. Like, she was connecting with whatever everyone else calls God, the universe, source, the higher self, the light, whatever. Like, she had that connection. Things happened. You know, she'd, like, call it before it would happen, you know. But she was limited because of, you know, the boundaries that the Bible set for her, you know.
Well, I think also you have to keep in mind that emotions cloud good intuition. So, you know, we're subjective. We have our own impressions of ourselves. So I can be really intuitive about somebody else, and sometimes my intuition sucks with myself, you know. And so, I mean, this is just being human. And, you know, your grandmother's devotion to her belief systems, you know, I mean, that's her process, her progress, her evolution, and whatever, you know, maybe she had great epiphanies while she was leaving the earth. You know, it's hard to know. The problem here, I think, is what you're expressing, is that it makes it very hard for other people in the way of helplessness. Mm-hmm. Because there's a certain amount of helplessness that we feel, you know, and I can relate to this in that simply if I'm doing a reading, I can see the answer really clear for somebody, but they don't see it, and they're not mm-hmm. connecting with it, and I'm helpless, you see? So I just mm-hmm. do my best, and respect for free will means that of ourselves, too. And sometimes it's as simple as minding our own business, even though we have an emotional investment. It's very tough stuff sometimes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. good. Yeah, I don't know if I can even add anything to what Dr. Hunter said.
But you had mentioned in the chat room, Zach, that you're on course MHS M1, and you're having, there's a question in there that you're having a little trouble with. Do you want to share that?
Yes. Like the first question on the whole assignment. Hold on one second. Let me...
The assignment.
Roger.
We have another voice.
Sorry about that. I was having some sorry, and now I'm talking over you. Okay. The first question on the assignment was just, you know, if you had 6 months to live, what are three things that you would do or change, you know, in that 6 months? And I was having a hard time with that question, and I feel like it's not something that I should have a hard time with.
Well, what's the point of it, isn't it, to get you thinking?
Right. My first kind of reaction is to spend more time with my family. But then my second reaction is, holy crap, like, what's my family going to do when I'm not there? I've got to, like, figure out my will because they'll kill themselves, you know, trying to fight over the stuff, you know, that's left behind. But are those the kinds
well,
of questions
we'll fix
that
it
I need
for
to
you.
Think
just
about?
Leave it to me.
Leave us in your will, and then that'll settle that.
You know, Zach, maybe I can inject here. You have to understand the point of the question. The point of the question is to get you thinking about, are you living your life to the fullest in this moment, that if you died today, it's okay? Think about
well,
that for a minute.
I'm sitting in a good place because, you know, I feel like that was kind of my second thought because I was overthinking it, I think, at first, but... You know, it was, I feel content. I feel like I'd probably want to spend a little more time with my family, you know, but spending six, no, I'm not going to spend 6 months. If I have 6 months, I'll probably give them the last 2 weeks, you know.
Wow, stingy. The point, Zach, is, you know, it's a question to help you sort out your priorities. If a person says, gee, I wouldn't do anything different, well, isn't that the point? The point is to help the student to really think deeply about what am I doing with my life? Where am I at in with my life right now? And, you know, if I only had 6 months to live, what would I do different, if anything? And the point is, if you wouldn't do anything different, then, you know, that's a great testimony to that you're living your dream, you're living your purpose, you're finding meaning in life, and you're doing what you would do. You know, even if your life ended. So that's the point. So sounds well, to me like you're doing good on it.
Well, and the fact that you have just been through this with your grandmother, bless her heart, you know, how did she utilize the last number of months? And that's a very good example for you to ponder, I think. You know, you have something to compare it to. And her basically knowing, I think she knew she was going to leave, other people knew she was going to leave, and what is the quality of that time? So are you living the quality of your life? But you mentioned something, too. You get your will straightened out. There's a few matters of business mm-hmm. that you might want to get caught up on and say, oh, gee, I better tend to that. And it's just a good little reminder. So hopefully that kind of helps you out just to understand the point.
Right. Well, to Dr. Kelly, I appreciate the comment. I feel like to a level it's validating. Like if there were 6 months, you know, I would feel pretty set, you know, but
good.
With 10 years in mind, you know, I feel like there's a lot of changes that I can make in like the direction of just career path and, you know, what I want to do. So that's great. And Dr. Hunter, I appreciate your perspective on everything as well.
And in the study material for that, where that question was discussed, the basic impetus there was, okay, what would you do if you only had 6 months to live? Now be about doing it. Live that way, you know, live in such a way that that's how it is. So, Zach, you're doing great, and appreciate you calling in and being part of this, and do it again.
You know, I think I might to interrupt.
Oh, go ahead, Dr. Hunter.
The purpose of the self-study, self-evaluation, self-observing in the whole IMHS program is to help us to better understand ourselves, but also to know what we're looking at. You know, when we want to be investigators or counselors or, you know, there's people who want to be hypnotherapists, you know, and anything that you pursue, you have to have a wide enough mind to keep open to various possibilities of what you're looking at. And you can't do that unless you know yourself really well. How do you think? How do you process? So that, you know, you're looking at something and you say, oh, I don't have a frame of reference for this. You know, but you have, right in that statement all by itself, you're acknowledging something about yourself, and then you get investigating. You're seeking out new knowledge. So this is the point of that self-study. So, you know, people might think, well, you know, what is the school and what do you do? Because I really want to study aliens. Well, okay, if you're going to study aliens, then you better know who you are and what are you looking at? Because a lot of people think they see aliens when there's no alien. So, you know, this is the point. We're trying to be as grounded, practical, sensible, and as possible, and be good human beings. So how we do that? We self-study. And we ask these very relevant questions. They're really good questions. So I hope that helps.
Thanks, Zach. Appreciate you calling in, and thanks for being part of IMHS, too.
No problem. You guys have a good night.
You too. All right, so we just got a few minutes left. I know we had some additional questions that we'll take briefly, heavy emphasis on briefly. And some of these I'm not going to comment a lot on. These are some questions that have come in. The one question is, do we offer a course on EFT, which is emotional freedom technique? The answer is not right now. We're looking into it, but we don't offer one right now. I'm not sure whether we will, but we're looking into the possibility of doing that.
You know, I might say that there's a lot of different techniques out there, and it's really hard to keep up on it. And then even so, it's to find qualified people, exceptional people, to teach these courses, you know, by the standards that are set by Dr. Kelly and IMHS. And I appreciate that. So, you know, this is why when we look into it, we look into it. So.
Another question, how can I become a spiritual counselor? Is it legal? You can become a spiritual counselor by getting ordained with any bona fide religious organization and doing spiritual counseling. Spiritual counseling has the connotation of existential counseling, existential issues, questions on existence, things maybe we're not sure what our purpose is in life. That's an existential question. What am I here for? Where am I going? What am I supposed to be doing? Those are all spiritual issues, and that's how you become a spiritual counselor. How do you become a really good spiritual counselor? Well, I have a pretty good answer for that one. You enroll in the IMHS degree program, and that is not a shameless plug. It is just reality. You take the courses on becoming a spiritual counselor. All the bachelor's courses, first three master's courses, and course M8 plus any other courses that to fill up your 12 required. That will give you uncommonly good training in doing spiritual counseling, life coaching. That's a great place to start. You want to be a really excellent coach, then you've got to listen to others who are good at it. And like this radio program, and we've done hundreds of episodes on all kinds of different things. And Dr. Hunter is one of the finest, most qualified spiritual counselors I've ever met. And I don't say that lightly because, you know, most of the counselors I know need one. So, you know, you're, I mean, it's true. And I love her noble, down-to-earth approach. And so you listen to those things. You get ideas. You listen to how we put things. And, you know, and you listen to other people, too. It's not just us. There's a lot of people who are good at it. Just make sure that their advice is not way out in orbit. Make sure it's doesn't do any harm, that it does right, that it's relevant, that it's valid, and it helps people. And then you find your own voice, so to speak, your own counseling voice, your own approach, your own just your own approach to it, but based on your own unique experiences. And that's how
I might add too that, you know, life coaching is right along in there, and the life leadership program is second to none. And it was one of the biggest draws for me coming to IMHS. Like, holy wow, this is great stuff. And the Life Leadership Paragon developed by Dr. Kelly, so I'm plugging you right back, Doug, it's really extraordinary. So if it's not spiritual counseling that you want to pursue necessarily, you can go into life coaching, and you can go to get a certification at ICHSworld.org instead of, you know, going through the whole doctoral program. So, you know, that's just a possibility.
That's a good point. You can get a certification. It's life leadership coaching. It's based on the life leadership paragon. And I've been teaching or been doing life leadership coaching for years. And with the advent of the school 4 years ago, I put this all in a course form. And it's an elegant approach. It's a unique approach. You will not find life leadership coaching like this anywhere else. It's based on the life leadership paragon, which is self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and self-completeness. And the objective of life leadership coaching is to restore order and balance to a person's life leadership paragon, to their self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will. And that's what the course teaches. It's an elegant model. It's a beautiful model. It's more powerful than I ever even imagined it would be. And it's only after years of using it and knowing it, and I'm the one who created it, and I even learn new things about it. It's an amazing approach that you won't get anywhere else. So that's how you become a spiritual counselor.
You know, I'd like to inject here and make an official announcement that I am developing a healing certification course. Levels 1 and 2 that I hope will be up and posted by the end of this year, the very latest at the beginning of 2015. It's taking a little time to write and put together of all the different techniques and, you know, the modalities that I have used in methods of healing because it's really covering a lifetime of work. So, you know, you try to put 40 years into, geez, you know, a couple of courses, it's kind of tough. But it's coming along nicely. I'm very pleased with it, and I think it's going to be of great benefit to a lot of people. And again, I want to stress that one of the things that I just, you know, I could get up on a big soapbox about is you're not just helping other people when you impart healing, whether that's, you know, counseling or otherwise, but you're working with energy, and the facilitators are always affected by that as much as the recipient. And so this is where I really want to sculpt this course, and I have been, that we learn not just about what we're giving, but what we are, you know, going through ourselves and receiving through our process and dynamic with other people every day of our lives. So, you know, hopefully it'll be up by the next 6 months.
That'd be great. Looking forward to it. We're going to take one more question before we start wrapping it up. What does a degree in metaphysics give me? Probably the short answer to that question is it will change your life. and especially at IMHS, metaphysicsinstitute.org. And I don't say that lightly. We have hundreds of students around the world. It changes lives. It helps people to reclaim their power, take their power back. That's the ultimate thing anyway. And it helps people to learn relationship skills, critical thinking skills, excellent and advanced communication skills. It's I can't even begin to tell you all the different life skills that a metaphysical education will give you. And, you know, students are all different. Some get degrees simply for personal growth. Others get degrees because they want to be spiritual counselors, life coaches, and healers. Others do it because they want to be parapsychologists or ufologists. They want the credibility factor, and not the least of which is the training in being more objective researchers. They want to be better at what they do. They want to pass great life skills on to their children and their children's children. And that's the point of the Society of Metaphysical Humanism. It's the point of the Metaphysics Institute. It's the point of everything we do is to raise awareness, raise a vibrational level of humanity, and help people lead more successful lives, and thereby leaving the woodpile higher than we found it. You know, all we got to do is get enough people doing this, following a healthy spiritual philosophy, just like we talked about, the nine principles of belief, living those principles, do no harm, do right, and the world improves little by little, day by day. Every time one person stops hating and stops being discriminatory against women or other ethnicities, against gender preference, Every time somebody does that, the world gets just a little bit better. And that's what we're all here for, is to make this a place that we can be proud of, that we can say, okay, aliens, you don't have to stay away from us anymore. We finally get it. We're stopped killing each other. So that's the short answer. That wasn't really short, was it?
I posted our video on the YouTube,
great.
The link in the chat. But anybody who is listening in the archives, please just go to
metaphysicalhumanism.org. It's right on the front page.
Front page, humanism. Right below the principles of belief. So it's right there.
So next week we'll be back. We'll have some other topic. We kind of do this week by week, so we can kind of keep up with everything. If you've got something you would like to hear or see discussed, let us know. Send us an email to admin@metaphysicalhumanism.org. It will reach us. If you'd like more information on our degree program, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. Or if you just want to take a standalone course or a certification course, ichsworld.org. So until next week, all I can say is listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Thanks, everyone.
Good night.